Welcome everyone to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're here recording on another Sunday. Seems to be our thing.
Yes.
You've demanded that we go beyond what I thought we would cover in this episode. So we have five issues.
Well, yeah, number 29 completed the arc.
Yes.
So it seemed logical.
So before we get to that, what have you been up to? You had a really busy week. Most of it unexpected
I
with family
did.
stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of anxiety things. That was exacerbated by hanger, I would say, on Friday night. Like, I was just miserable. Between hungry and crabby, and I wanted just an evening, and it didn't happen, which
And
is
yeah.
I should have expected, perhaps. But it's fine. On Monday, my parents' car broke down, so I drove down to Mankato. So that like ate up the entire evening. So luckily, when I had gotten home from work, I started cleaning things, so that was done. So the back room is bun-proofed for Clyde, who naturally doesn't seem to be drawn to chewing cords the way that any other rabbit is.
That's
And
nice.
maybe that'll be a selling point for his adoption blurb. But he now has basically free range of the whole first floor during the day when he's out.
Oh,
So,
good.
and poor guy went to a romp and spa on Saturday.
His first one to be like shown off as an adoptable bunny.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So he got a little bit of a shave, which is good because he's an Angora and he gets very warm very fast. And it's good to help keep the mats down.
Yes.
Apparently, I have to do a better job of brushing him by his feet,
Oh,
which he hates.
yeah.
And he was generally fine as long as there was no other rabbit within 2 feet of him. But when there was, I could see his tail go up,
Oh,
which is generally a
that's
sign
the
of.
warning sign from when we were bonding Nick and Nora. Like, as
Yes.
soon as that goes up, you know shit's about to go down.
Yeah. But then he would like hop off to the corner and roll flop. He roll flopped a lot. But yeah, and then the last 15 minutes, he got into a fight with another bun, and I picked him up, and the other rabbit came up along with him until some fur let loose.
Oh no.
So he wasn't bleeding. He's fine. He's back home. He had a nice clean house when we got back. So yeah, that was Clyde's big adventure.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
Well, maybe the future ones will go better.
I hope
There's
so.
the next one he'll be attending is in like 3 weeks. So he
Will
has
he?
a little time to recover.
Will he? So do we bring him, or to just like get his shave and get out?
Oh.
Although everyone else seemed to be very nonplussed with the whole situation.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was that. There was Trek trivia.
Yeah, that was Wednesday
I
night.
forgot what happened Tuesday night. Did I actually have that evening to myself?
I don't think
I don't
so.
think I did either. I
No,
don't.
there was something going on where Monday was your technically only free night.
Yeah.
Tuesday was something.
Wednesday was Trek Trivia. We did surprisingly well, considering we didn't do much studying for T'Pol or Michael Burnham.
Yeah, except next month, the featured round, like the sound round and the,
Round five.
yeah, are all about that terrible new Section 31 movie. My proposal to the Star Trek A's is that we split the movie into 10-minute increments and we each take just 10 minutes that we have to watch and be experts on. Like,
It's
just watch those 10 minutes like twice before the next trivia because I can't sit through that whole movie again.
we did it once as a group, and it was great to do it as a group because we had more distractions. We could just
Rip on it. Yeah.
bullshit our way through it, sort of like how we would any episode through the pandemic. And with side note, our animated series watchings are fun.
Yeah.
People have been enjoying that. We watch two episodes of the animated series
Yep.
every non-trivia Wednesday. Thursday, hang out with our friend Rabindra. And then Friday was
Was
house.
monopolized by family.
Yeah. And Saturday was the romp. So I was so stressed out. I had a
Yeah.
headache by the time I got up here.
Yeah, like a bad stress headache.
Yeah, it was rough. So.
But we've taken it pretty easy. We had some sandwiches for lunch.
I had two.
Yes.
They're
And
sauerkraut sandwiches, heavy on the sauerkraut, light on the corned beef, which is not how anyone ever makes them,
no. But
which
there's
is.
a whole fucking packet of sauerkraut. And I told my mom, it's like, all right, you two have fun.
Yeah.
I'm not eating this shit.
I like
You
it.
still want to make sauerkraut in like a crock and
Sauerkraut and
ferment it
ribs.
in.
Oh, yes, I do want to make actual sauerkraut. I've done it before.
Yes.
And it's a little smelly, but it worked. And it was tasty.
Yeah. So you've been reading these issues this morning. I read a bunch. So I only have, as you can see, two issues right here to read of Wolverine before I'm done with reading everything for writing. Like,
And they're autographed copies.
yeah, when we met Larry Hama last year.
Yeah.
So some of them are quite easy. Like, I haven't. Full disclosure, these two last issues, I have not read these two issues of Wolverine because I don't like Wolverine as a character. Just our childhood, he was the one character,
Ubiquitous.
yes, where it's like you have to like him. And I was never like that. So if someone told me that I had to like something, I would automatically go the other way. So,
That's still me today.
yes. And still me, like, if you ask my favorite Marvel superheroes, it's like Gambit is probably the most mainstream one. Hercules is not mainstream.
Oh, no.
Black Knight, not mainstream. And She-Hulk, arguably not mainstream.
Maybe now that
But
she has a her own TV show.
a lot of people shit on that TV show.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was really fun. So much so that I bought it on bootleg DVD because I don't believe that streaming will keep anything up.
Oh.
See Amazon's little games with Knots Landing, where they will have it on Amazon Prime for 2 weeks and then they take it down for 3 days.
What's Knots Landing?
It is the spinoff of Dallas
Oh.
out in California.
I figured it was going to be something Dallas or Dynasty related.
Yes, which, I mean, we still need to watch the Colbys.
If only for Maxwell Caulfield.
Yes. I sent you a whole 2-minute reel. Thank you, Camporama, for posting that.
And it just kept going.
Yes. Just him shirtless a lot.
Yeah.
My week was a lot easier than yours. It's me trying to finish writing this damn book, like getting the rough draft of the narrative stuff so I can get that off to Laura, our friend who is also my editor, so she can take a pen to it over the course of a month and get me edits back.
Yeah.
And she sent me a file and she just did like the first couple issues and she's like, is this what you want? And the amount of redlining. Like,
Oh.
she's so good with the English language. And I am too, but I use the passive voice a lot. And it's hard for me to catch myself when I'm composing. So
Oh.
she's able to catch things like that and tense. So the first 25 to 30 issues, I use a different tense for some aspects, and then I switch to totally present tense.
Oh.
So I asked her to try to catch all those instances for me as well.
Oh, wow.
So
She's earning her keep.
she is. I will remunerate her well with actual money because pay people what they're worth for their talent. So that's coming along. I'm excited to read these last two issues of Wolverine and then just get through some stuff. I tossed out some issues that weren't technically in scope and then added in some Fabian Nicieza's Avengers stuff where there's an Elf of Light crossover,
Okay.
which is really fun. And he's pretty down on himself about it. But I think he did a great job. So I'm excited to include those in the book.
Oh. And I got you your Lower Decks issue.
Yeah, so you picked up comics this week because.
Speaking of creator things, and I tweeted or I blue skied at Ryan North and he liked it.
Oh, good.
So
We need to go to Toronto
there's
and
a lot
meet
of
Ryan
reasons.
North and Anthony Oliveira.
And it was just a panel that's like I can hear it happening in my head and I could see it happening with those characters and it was just very well done.
It's nice to find people who know the voices of the characters they're writing.
Yeah, and it seems to be like a place of joy, so that's fun.
Yes, we need to find those.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I couldn't get comics. I had to take time away from work to do other appointments. But on the way to trivia, I stopped by technically it's an apothecary.
Oh.
An apothecary. And I dropped a lot of money on a big chunk of rose quartz.
To have your creativity
Yeah,
that
it's
you
next to
charged.
you. It's helping us right now. And also picked up some tea mixtures that they have, and we had a pot of it while we were reading comics.
And it contains valerian, so if I start snoring partway through,
It's the relax tea, which
yeah,
tastes pretty good.
it's very earthy.
Yes. Not as earthy as the high blood pressure one that I have yet to try.
Yeah, that one I'm anticipating being very savory.
Yes. So speaking of creators that know the voices of the characters they're writing, why don't we dive into Elf Light, issues 26 through 29, and hey, right before 29, we're covering Incredible Hulk 313.
Yeah.
So, we are ending the Byrne run and starting the Mantlo run in the same episode.
Oh, does that happen in?
Yeah, you didn't even notice, did you?
I didn't.
So,
Because it's the same arc. Like, I.
issue 26 is entitled "If at First You Don't Succeed." Dot 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 from September 1985. Writer and artist is John Byrne. Inks are Bob Wiacek. Andy Yank is on colors. Rick Parker is our letterer. And our editor is Denny O'Neill. So the first half of this issue is devoted to a training exercise the team is participating in. Every active member is present except for Northstar and, of course, non-combatant Heather. The team is battling Canadian military robotic suits, which have a variety of offensive techniques to try out. You remarked that these have some powers. They're familiar.
Yes, if for anyone growing up in the 90s watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, or I suppose any of the countless spin-offs and
Oh, I know, there are so many.
successors that they've had.
They're like, I know people, you know people that like really love Power Rangers. I didn't stick around past like the third season. Like I grew out of it in the
Oh.
90s. So Mighty Morphin was it for me.
I somehow missed Zeo, which I think. But I was there for the ninja ones. I like the frog. And that guy's been at cons.
Oh, the good Red Ranger?
Well, him and the frog was the Black Ranger,
No.
who I can't think of his name. And but yeah, so these robots are blasting. They are super strong.
One of the weapons is a set of electronic tentacles that
That
wrap around Aurora.
fry her. And Shaman summons some Dreft bubble bath. So she falls, but she still ends up breaking a few ribs.
Yes, so Guardian severs the connection prior to her taking massive amounts of damage, but
Yeah.
still rough on her.
And these things, they combine to form a Zord.
Yes, so Shaman begins lecturing Guardian on how he should know better, but Guardian dismisses these concerns and flies off to continue the battle. He's like, "Thanks, old man, but I have some battling to do."
It was
And
two converging, four converging, three converging,
so
five converging.
the only thing that really stops this is the combined mystical might of shaman and talisman.
Yeah, they create like a big scary monster thing that distracts the Zord. And so then Boxel can chuck it into a wall.
So as it wraps up, a military liaison brings Guardian a message from Heather, who's reporting that she and Northstar are in some sort of trouble and require the team's presence.
Yes. So Talisman, Guardian, and Puck fly off. Shaman is taking care of Aurora.
And they're flying off to the West Edmonton Mall. This fucking book, it's the 80s. They love a good mall moment.
Isn't it the biggest mall ever?
I think so.
And similar to Mall of America, it has an amusement park inside that Puck even comments on.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I guess they're putting these two things together that are oh so popular.
So every like the staff and the public have all fled the building. So it's an abandoned mall that they need to search for their teammates and whatever they encounter there. They're like, we know Heather and Jean-Paul are here somewhere, but
Yeah.
it's a gigantic ass mall.
And Puck finds Diamond Lil. She kicks him in the face.
Yes.
It's a very Batgirl from the 60s move. Anytime someone kicks someone else in the face from a height is that Batgirl moment.
So, as described by one onlooker, there seemed to be 100 baddies that ran everyone off, even though it looked like only three of them were there initially. And the last piece of information is incredibly useful. The group identified themselves as Omega Flight.
Hence Diamond Lil.
Yes. So, Hawk tries to retaliate, but he's frozen in midair and probably smashed down to another level of Lil. And a speaker from off-panel tells Lil to collect him and meet at the rendezvous point. So someone's coordinating this. In another part of the huge mall, Talisman runs into Flashback, who quickly multiplies and confuses her. So Flashback can manifest present or future selves.
Future selves.
Future selves, not past selves, I think.
Right.
Only versions of him from the future. So she's about to strike, and a blast from above takes her out of the battle. And then Flashback is told from off-panel to gather her and go to the rendezvous point.
But the arm is clad in spandex red with a white glove.
So it's building.
It is.
And then we get our first glimpse of Northstar, who is battling Wildchild.
And who is probably about to take him out, except Northstar runs into a force field, an
Yeah.
invisible force field that knocks him out.
And then he's gathered up.
And we get the cake of the off-panel speaker.
Connected to that cake, Heather is seen outside a newsstand, which amusingly has issues of Alpha Flight, Thor, Hulk, and G.I. Joe on sale.
Oh, that's fun.
And she's approached by Guardian. As they compare notes on what's going on, his voice changes and suddenly sounds like Jerry Jackson.
I love Heather's suit right here though. Like the red boots, the white pants, yellow with the wrist thingies, gauntlets and belt, and like the high flared collar.
Her civilian outfits in this era are just on point, and it's always a variation. Like, she's always wearing like a really nice cut jacket,
Yes.
like an action jacket.
And the sunglasses
Yes.
are so intense. And
So
I actually had to read this twice because I couldn't figure out what it in the words that Guardian said threw her off. And then it's the sound of Jerry Jackson's voice. That's the one that really cues her off, so that obviously we can't tell.
She's baffled, and then Guardian rips his face off, revealing himself as Delphine Courtney.
Delphine, that bitch.
Delphine, Delphine?
Delphine.
It's French, isn't it?
Oh, they say Delphine in English. We watched Cold Comfort Farm where there is Delphine.
No. So Courtney says they are finally able to pursue their programmed goal of destroying Alpha Flight because Delphine, I believe, is gender neutral.
I mean, probably as a
They're a robot.
right.
So, in the letters column, most of the letters appearing are a reaction to issue 22, where Heather thinks she sees Mac on the streets of Vancouver.
And now we know it was all a ploy. It was
Yeah.
all a lie. I am so betrayed by what had happened.
Delphine Courtney, Delphine Courtney in Guardian cosplay.
Yes, I was enraptured by the story of those little brain creatures living on Europa.
One writer, Alan Chisholm of Bradyville, Tennessee, hopes they won't bring Guardian back from the dead, and he definitely got his wish.
It's true, because he's still dead.
So I think that the subverted expectation of Guardian's return may match his surprise death in issue 12.
Like, hey, we killed him. Oh, hey, we brought it back. Oh, no, we didn't.
Yep, it's whiplash. It's James McDonald Hudson whiplash.
Is. Poor Heather.
Yeah, and I think that bringing back Delphine and Omega Flight may be more shocking than bringing back Mac.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I think that Byrne opted for a comfort, like Mac's back, like, hey, we heard you, readers. You were really pissed off that Mac was killed. Look, he's back. And everyone's like, oh, cool, this bizarre ass story with a Corullan. And Ganymede and Jupiter and time travel, and I found some clothes in a musty old trunk in someone's summer cabin. Yeah, not to be.
Not to be.
And I think that the stated intent of Courtney and to destroy the team is a real-time threat for Alpha Flight and Heather in particular. That she's put in a lot of work trying to make this thing chug along. And all of a sudden, this bitch robot.
But I'll also bring back all the trauma.
Yes.
Like, hey, remember the team that your husband was fighting when he died? Oh, here they all back again.
Yes.
Oh, remember me? I punched you out and dragged you there, and when you got free of me, you saw his death. I'm back and I'm wearing his face.
Yeah.
Like, it's very Moira MacTaggert wearing Banshee.
Do you think that this is sort of like a rubber mask, like Beast had a rubber mask in the 70s to appear human? Chad on Grey Malkin described it beautifully, like just a latex person mask
Well,
that didn't move and it was over his fur.
I mean,
It had to have been real enough because she kissed it. She may have had sex.
oh, that's true. Well,
Yeah.
that, yeah, depending on how much the circuitry
Yeah.
was showing.
Is he fully functional?
Yes.
Did the Corollan supposedly give Mac a dick?
Who knows? But yeah, Heather definitely kissed Delphine. And how do you
Were
come
those
back
lips
from that?
warm?
Probably not. They're probably clammy.
Oh. So we know that some hits are going to keep coming because editor Denny O'Neill teases a big announcement at the end of that issue.
Oh.
Issue 27 is entitled Betrayal from October 1985.
And it zeroes in on the robotic face in Mac's outfit
Our
saying, what?
go ahead.
Oh, saying we've won. Alpha Flight has been destroyed.
Our friend Keith Williams is on inks.
Oh, yeah.
John Byrne is writer artist. Andy Yanke still on colors, as is Rick Parker on letters.
And on this title page, like the inks are good to give the robotic face depth and dimension.
Is that a signed issue? I think I got my issue signed, but I don't know if that's.
Yep.
Oh, great. Signed by Keith Williams.
Hooray. So we get the baddies all there carrying their respective elfins, and Heather's just going off. And she's like, we are half our team isn't here, so that leaves half the team available to bust up your little social club, just like we've done before.
Courtney beckons over flashback to bring Talisman, who he proceeds to torture in order for her to send a signal to her father to respond to the scene.
Yeah,
Like,
that.
throwing her into such a dark place where her mind just will reach out to him.
Right. She had been previously drugged somewhere in transit, but that was to keep her from providing too much detail. But if it's just like
A panic.
in
Yeah.
pain, that's enough to get Shaman.
As the events unfold in our friendly local West Edmonton mall, Shaman bandages Aurora and adds some herbs to help her heal quicker. He tells Walter she will be fully healed within a week.
And she's in good spirits. And then she goes in and they talk to Roger Box. And she's very eager to see if Roger has found a body for Walter. Because she had flown off when it was like, Walter, you're in a robot body. I don't know if we can be together. Womp
She needs something. A girl's gotta eat.
womp. A girl's gotta eat.
So the good news is that yes, he thinks he's found another body within the multiverse. He
And
has been searching far and wide if he's like
multiverse.
multiverse.
And it's clearly the Hulk. I mean, clearly the
I
Hulk.
just love that it, we don't, I don't know if it's this issue or the next where they're like, yeah, we found some brainless form to throw his mind into. And it's
Yeah.
like fucking rude.
Humanoid, virtually no brainwave pattern that we can detect and built like a brick
We
shipyard.
found a sex idiot for you, Aurora.
And she's like, fantastique. And you can put your mind into this creature, Cher Walter. She is ready.
As they discuss how to get this body back, Shaman feels Talisman's pain, and the three depart to her location. At the.
Unexpectedly.
Yes, Snowbird, she's feeling the signal too. She
She was feeling something before because she's wrapped in a sheet.
wants to stay with Doug Thompson, but she realizes the team needs her, and even though they believe she's gone, She has no other choice but to respond to the great pain that she felt.
Yeah, I mean, Doug Thompson coming in with just pants and no shirt on.
Looking like a true 80s man, he is not overly built. He is just a regular guy.
I mean, add some chest hair and he could be Dex Dexter from
Yes,
Dynasty.
he could be.
But Snowbird throws off the sheet to reveal her outfit.
She's fully dressed. She's ready. She puts on her dumb headpiece.
Did that cape turn, or did the sheet turn into her cape? It's possible. So she flies off to aid the team. And when Shaman, Aurora, and Box get there, it's Delphine as Guardian again. And they're like, oh yeah, we defeated Omega Flight. They're over there. And it's just like them posing with the unconscious bodies of Alpha Flight. Northara's just slumped in a chair. I don't know how
He's
they fit.
fine. It's very you haven't seen this. It's Weekend at Bernie's. It's almost like National Lampoon's Vacation, where Imogene and Coca,
I've never not seen that.
the aunt dies, and they just strap her to the roof of the car.
Oh.
And then they strap her into a chair because her son isn't home and leave her in the rain on the patio with a
Oh.
note being like, "Sorry, your mom died."
What?
Yeah. Anyway, North Star is very much strapped to a chair in the background.
Is that why I don't like those movies? Maybe. Or like the Magnificent Ferengi when we can bring it back to a Star Trek context.
So, the
They're
I love
there.
that Omega are like the ones that have propped up Alpha Flight to be like, oh, we're totally caught by them. Oh, shucks.
Yeah, even though
Oh, gee.
Flashback is holding Heather by her collar, Diamond Lil is just got her hand around Puck's throat, keeping him upright.
Yeah.
So Fake Guardian goes around Shaman and grabs his pouch.
Yes, because Guardian finds out that Smart Aleck is in the pouch.
Yes, and he wants to bring Smart Aleck back. So he reaches inside as Aurora is chasing. And he turns the pouch inside out because there's nothing in it.
It releases the void.
Which is a cool, like, I don't know how to describe this. It's like a stained glass window panes almost. Like it's a color spectrum coming out and it's eating up Aurora.
It's the dimension that exists within the medicine pouch.
Yes.
Although at other times it is described as sort of a juncture point, just like the crossroads
Yeah,
of
or
like where
limbo,
Doctor Strange goes.
or limbo almost.
So like in a much later issue, Doctor Strange is involved. And it's correlated to like the inside of the pouch is the same as this crossroads of all the dimensions.
Which,
Like it's an avenue to get there.
yeah, which is why Shaman can use his magic to manipulate it to do stuff in our world.
And that's why
You're not supposed to turn it inside out.
his name is Ogeode from Crystar. We didn't cover this, but I just had to do the write-up so it's fresh in my mind. Ogeode reached for a crystal in his pocket, which has the same properties as the medicine bag,
Oh,
and reached through
into
and like,
Shaman's bag.
yeah,
It
and
said
out of
hi.
it. Yes, it's a bizarre and amusing panel,
Oh, that's
but
fun.
so now this thing is creeping out this
Yep.
other
It's
dimension.
expanding. It grabbed Aurora. Box tried to save her, but Walter in the box robot.
Right.
And now they
Walter
have been
Box.
absorbed. Yes.
Until we get to Madison Box, we just have to say like Roger Box or Walter Box.
It's true. They even say Boxy in reference to Walter.
So,
They Omega's like, fuck this, we're
way
gonna run away.
out.
And the void absorbs all the Alphans. But
So,
Shaman saves Talisman.
he rushes to her side and says she's the only one who can go into the depths of the void and drop back into the pouch.
Yeah, it has to be a force from without and a force from within to fix the pouch and get it back.
Yeah, even though she's pretty nervous to do it, she dives into the void and eventually finds the team.
And she also is like coming out of a drugged haze.
Yeah.
It's like she's doing really well for everything that's happened to her. She can navigate it, she can find stuff. It
So
felt
Shaman
super
is
weird.
pushing as she's pulling, and by their combined efforts, the team emerges back onto the mall floor. Like head first, they all sort of creep out
Yeah.
of the void and get spilled out onto the floor.
And Talisman is still inside.
And Shaman moves to grab her hand to pull her out, but Delphine Courtney zaps him. And also, at the same time, has Snowbird by the throat. And they
That's
give Shaman a choice. You.
either help Snowbird or help your daughter. You can't do both.
Yep. And
And
he's like, Talisman, I'll be right back. This will only take a second.
grabs some goop, throws it at Guardian, which frees Snowbird, but in that time the void has closed and Talisman is trapped.
Yes, with the parting words of, Help me, you promised. That's
And
the issue.
that's the issue. It's gone. Nothing can be drawn from the bag that is bigger than the mouth. I have failed her in my promise to her, as I failed to save her mother, as I have failed so many times.
Yep.
And even Snowbird is like, very ominously, the talisman has been consumed by the void.
Within the letter section, this is mostly letters speaking to the loss of Sasquatch. Although one canny writer, Bob Lackey of Mahwah, New Jersey, said he could see the transformation of Sasquatch and wasn't surprised to find out he was a great beast. People were genuinely really sad Sasquatch was gone, which isn't a surprise. Out of any Alpha Flight member, he's probably the one who appeared most prominently outside the pages of Alpha Flight or X-Men comics. So he was known by a greater readership.
I see.
He showed up in Incredible Hulk a few times.
Gotcha.
He was like the heavy hitter that would pop out. He was in Marvel 2-in-1 for a couple of issues, if you recall.
Oh, is that the when they were up north and they
Yes.
got Super Skrull?
No. 2-in-1 is where they battled Ranark, the evil shaman that was let loose from a grave.
Do I remember this? Maybe.
Maybe. So anyway,
Yeah, that makes sense.
the big news at the end of the Larry page is that John Byrne and the rest of the creative team on the book are leaving Alpha Flight after issue 28 and trading places with Bill Mantlo and the creative team from The Incredible Hulk. Byrne probably knew this for a few months ahead of time, which makes a lot of sense in how he is trying to bring back some of those loose ends from earlier in the run
Oh,
and
yeah.
doing something with them. But he's not leaving the cleanest slate for Mantlo and company to use. There's still a lot going on that's unresolved, and having Mantlo deal with everything seems like a tall order.
Especially like something as dramatic as, hey, this character that we killed off that you thought was bad, but is actually an evil robot. Have fun.
Yes. So before we dive into the issue you're holding, which is issue 28, I need to give us a lead-in because issue 28 is technically a tie-in to Secret Wars 2, which was the. So Jim Shooter is the first one who sort of initiated as editor-in-chief Secret Wars. It was the first big crossover, summer crossover event ever that comics did. And it was so successful, like they got toys out of it that they're like, let's do Secret Wars 2. And
Not
let,
even a new name.
yeah, and Secret Wars was an eight issue or 12 issue, I forget. I think it was 12 because it may have been a maxi series. Anyway, the first event was pretty self-encapsulated. Like it took some heroes out of the mix, but books continued on and didn't tie into it. Secret Wars 2 was fucking everywhere. Like this fucking Beyonder was in so many titles.
Sort of like how they do crossovers now.
Yes. I would say that Secret Wars 2 is probably the first modern crossover. Like Secret Wars, first crossover, first big event, big summer event. Secret Wars 2, everything's getting drawn into it. So, issue 4 of Secret Wars 2, which was entitled Love is the Answer, from October 1985, our writer Jim Shooter, penciler is Al Milgrom, ink Steve Lealoha. And Joseph Rubinstein. Coloring is Max Scheel. Letters are Rick Parker and Joe Rosen. And our editor on that book is Bob Budiansky. So we only need to talk about 3 pages from this. So I'll just do it myself. Only 3 pages in the entire main Secret Wars 2 title involve the team. So We are picking up with the team immediately after the last issue, like directly afterwards. The Beyonder appears out of thin air, and the group thinks he may be an unknown member of Omega Flight, and they immediately attack him.
Oh, as they do. Like, I don't know you, so I'm going to try and punch you out.
Yes, but so they're going up against the Beyonder, though, so he easily handles everything the group throws at him, sometimes by literally throwing it back in North Star's case. He
Oh.
even easily subdues Snowbird in polar bear form by putting her into a nap.
Oh.
Shaman moves to confront him, but the Beyonder grabs the medicine pouch and explains he needs it to retrieve something from another dimension. However, in return, he will give the team something they want. He grows the medicine bag to a huge size and pulls Talisman out of the bag before shrinking it back down, retrieving a ring, and departing.
That's
The
it.
team, now with Talisman back, is left baffled.
Oh, okay. I mean, sure. So he's the hunky guy in orange with the
Yeah.
nice biceps.
Yes. Issue 28, entitled Crossovers from November 1985. John Byrne, for the last time, is our writer and artist. Our inker is Keith Williams. Coloring is Andy Yankus. Letterer Rick Parker. Editor Denny O'Neill. So,
Omega Flight is running
yeah. So,
away.
the end of issue 27, the three pages of Secret Wars 2, issue 4, and the beginning of this issue all are happening simultaneously.
Yeah, which sort of makes sense with
Yes.
what you just said, and the fact that, like, while all that is happening, Omega Flight is trying to leave.
Yes. And that's why I needed to look at Secret Wars 2 for the book, because it makes so much more sense.
Yeah,
With
because
the
otherwise,
footnotes where
like,
they're like, look at Secret Wars 2, number 4, and you're like, there, we skipped a plot beat here because Talisman is here.
right?
Yes.
She's not here yet.
No.
Instead, we have Wild Child and Diamond Lil and Flashback, like all sort of mini revolting. They're like,
Fuck this.
we were here to get revenge and we didn't get it. They're all still alive, but there's like some weird magic thing happening back there. And a car starts to crunch and transform, and eyes on Garden get real buggy real fast because, oh no, he's here. Everyone get in front of me. Like, Delphine is not a fan
Yeah.
of whatever it is that's happening. And it's Madison Jeffries. He transformed the car into a transformer robot thing.
And Diamond Lil's like, hey, boo, you're not gonna hurt me, right? And he just is like, stares at her, and she's like, right? It's basically the Padme Amidala and Anakin Skywalker meme. Like, we fucked before, so you're not going to like take it out on me, right?
Yeah. Oh, baby, I thought you were dead. And oh, when you didn't get recruited into Omega Flight, I thought the rumors must have been true. And Madison is like, oh, I never got the pitch. You never tried to recruit me, did you, Court? Like, there isn't an outward sign that this is Delphine Courtney, but Madison Jeffries just knows, must be able to sense the
Something.
mechanics.
Oh, yeah.
Since he's
Yep.
the technomancer.
So they're pretty easily dispatched.
Yeah.
Although Madison Jut does run over to Lil when she's tossed aside like a rag doll.
It's true.
So, in a bid to save themselves, Delphine Courtney shoves one of Flashback's future selves in front of them. The
And
future version of Flashback is killed, and all other future duplicates are as well, meaning Flashback will shortly die in the future.
yeah, it's tr yeah, that makes sense with his power. Like, if these are all future
And
iterations and one of them dies, like any iteration that he's brought back instantly goes
I
away.
feel I brought this up recently where I'm like, maybe this one is still out here, and now I'm just reminded that no, Flashback's dead. Flashback
Yeah.
died. Madison uses his transmutation powers to tear Delphine Courtney apart from the inside out.
It's like a throw up your inside situation. Like,
We've all been there.
it's Delphine Courtney got norovirus.
Delphine Courtney had lots of tequila.
Oh, that I don't need that flashback to my first year of college.
So Madison leaves the transmuted car to watch over the remainder of Omega Flight until the police arrive, and joins the rest of the team inside the mall, where he finds the Beyonder holding Talisman's limp body.
And yeah. Of note, Diamond Lil being like, "And what about us, lover? What happens to me and Child and Flashy?" And it looks like Flashback's going to be busy being or going crackers for a bit, Lil. Ouch. But also, yeah, they're
Let's bring
going.
back that phrase, going crackers.
Like the world has gone.
Yes.
So Mass and Jeffries is like, "We'll see you in like 20 years," and
So
goes inside.
this is where Omega Flight is arrested. I wonder how the police.
Again,
Yes.
eventually, like they're just left out there under the robot's gaze.
Don't worry, it's not long before one of them is out of prison.
Oh, well, hopefully it's Diamond Lil.
It's not.
Oh. So yeah, there's the Beyonder commenting on Talisman's powers and how the woman is flesh of your flesh. Within her mortal frame dwells great power, yet that very mortality, very humanity, is as a barrier to that power. It stymies her. And Shaman's like, "No, she's just young. She'll grow into it. It's fine."
Talisman recovers sufficiently enough to get her bearings and punch her father.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
In a very, like, they even make a comment about how her subconscious is sort of hiding what happened in the void from her conscious mind to protect it. And then she's like, "Oh, yes, I remember now." And then that's when she decks Shaman and just goes off, rightfully so. Like,
Yeah, so she wants nothing to do with him or really any other member of the team.
that's all I get from you. Lies, half-truths, broken promises. You promised to save my mother and you didn't. You told me to put on this wretched headband and you didn't tell me it could never come off, that it would turn into some sort of mystical freak. You promised you'd pull me out of the void. You promised and you let me down again. And even Heather tries to step in, and Talisman gets like this very demonic coloring, like her eyes start glowing red. And like, this is it. This is the last time. I guess he could do both, but he didn't. And now, why don't you all just go away? And she teleports everyone back to Roger Box in Vancouver.
Yeah, their rented headquarters, except Snowbird, because Snowbird is an independent woman and can choose her own destination. Thank you.
It's true. Maybe she went back to Doug Thompson.
Yeah, round two. So the team is all really pissed and upset, and Heather is like, "Everyone, take a 2-hour break. Go. Just get out of my sight. Get out of everyone else's sight. Take a break."
And she takes a bath.
Yes. So she listen. I love that she has like a microtape recorder for an audio diary, and she's listening to it back.
Is she the prototype for Captain Janeway?
Yeah.
This is her captain's log.
So she is listening to her own tape where she is worried about Shaman not only as a teammate but a friend, and how his interactions with Talisman may be impacting him mentally.
She is for getting her dead husband back. After seeing him in the street
Yep.
and falling down,
And
getting him
then
back, realizing that it's
may possibly fucking him.
possibly.
But definitely kissing his clammy lips, as you described them. His
Yes.
clammy, wormy lips.
Ooh. Did you have to make that sound? And she like gets him back, loses him to find out that it's the robot that killed him. And she's just like washes it off and down the drain, and she's back to business.
So she gets dressed, but the lights go out in the building. So she finds her way to the computer room, which every good 90s house had a computer room. So that Al Alpha Flight really presaged it by having it in the 80s.
It's
That
true.
there's a dedicated computer room, and
And after all that drama, everyone in there, like
is the entire team is there.
Walter Box, Box, Aurora. They are all just so happy. They're like, "Hey, here's this project that we didn't tell you about. We're getting a new body for Walter."
Yeah, it Roger's like, "I drew too much power."
The lights will be back on in a
Yeah,
moment.
we found a being for Walter's soul to go into.
And Heather's like, "What? No one thought it would be worthwhile to tell me about this?"
Yeah, but it's too late because Walter in the box armor is literally fishing and has hooked something on the extra dimensional fishing rig they created for this purpose.
Yeah.
So whatever they hooked is fighting back a lot, and Walter transports his own self into the rift, having Roger jump into the armor at the same time to keep reeling.
Yes. And Madison is doing his thing to try and get them more power. Northstar and Puck are there.
So Walter's goal is to take over the body in the other dimension and make the retrieval easier. He's like, I'll go after this sex idiot that Aurora wants
This,
and take
she
over the
was
body.
so excited to have a body.
We. So it seems to have worked as the being emerges into the room. Then the team makes the dreadful discovery that it isn't Walter that came through, but rather
It's the
it's
Hulk.
the Incredible Hulk.
Clearly, it has been the Hulk the whole time from the image that they got.
So in the letters column, there are no letters. Instead, there are two messages, one from John Byrne and the other from Denny O'Neill. Byrne, for his part, explains that he was only going to stick it out with Alpha Flight for 12 issues, but there kept being story threads to follow up on. With his 28th issue, quote, I finally told all the Alpha Flight stories I have to tell, unquote.
Ugh.
Denny O'Neill says he will miss the book greatly, and he had to remind himself when reading over drafts that he needed to actually do work and not just enjoy what was coming across his desk. His favorite character is Heather, and he will miss editing her greatly.
Oh.
So that's it. That's the end of the Burn run
Yeah.
with that issue, with
The Hulk appearing.
technically a crossover issue with Secret Wars 2.
It's true.
Yeah.
High drama, high
Yeah.
stakes.
It's interesting that he's like, I only wanted to do 12,
Yeah.
but there kept being things to follow up on.
Which makes sense because, like, 12, he created the team. Like, it was all the buildup leading up to.
And I think he just wanted to tell the story of the creation of the team, honestly.
It was so good.
And it, you can see in places where it, he's like, well, I have to do something with this character or that character. Like, I have to keep it moving forward somehow for North Star or
Oh.
for Aurora or for Walter. But like that. He went beyond. He more than doubled what he thought he was going to do.
It's true.
And in those subsequent 14 issues, 28, 12, 16 issues, I did real-time math there, people. You're welcome. He really did a whole lot that will impact the future. He killed Walter Lankowski
It's true. And Mac.
and then brought both of them back.
But it...
And then killed Mac again.
Yeah.
Omega Flight was in the mix, so
There's like henchmen villain team added players that have been added.
Pink Pearl,
Oh, yeah.
Gilded Lily.
Who can forget Gilded Lily?
Oh, what's her name? North Star's circus friend,
Clementine.
Clementine.
I like how we got that at the same time.
Yes, who will make a return
Oh, good.
in a story that I recently wrote up.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to her within the year again. So there were some fun supporting characters introduced, and but like I said, this sort of leaves a mess for Bill Mantlo. It's interesting. Like there's obviously team drama.
Yeah.
You can see where the Hulk is brought in because Bill Mantlo wrote the Hulk. We're about to talk about a Hulk issue.
Yeah.
Because Byrne apparently, and from what I am recalling, and forgive me everyone, read my book if you want the true story, where I will have read these quotes again and woven them into the book on Alpha Flight. But I believe the switcheroo happened because Byrne sort of swung his power around and he's like, I have some Hulk stories I'd really like to tell, so I want to write Hulk now.
Oh.
So that's, I believe, what initiated the change.
Oh.
And it was a
And that makes
full.
sense for why he was then setting it up for.
Yes. So we are getting Bill Mantlo coming in with his own editor. Denny and Byrne went over to Hulk is a straight up exchange.
Okay.
So Bill Mantlo and editor Carl Potts are coming over. So Carl is going to edit Alpha Flight forever, and I was fortunate enough for him to answer some questions for the book. But
Oh, hooray.
yeah, he worked with Bill Mantlo, and we're entering an era where I'd say that there's less material from Bill Mantlo on this than there was on Burn leading up to and during Alpha Flight. So unfortunately, Bill Mantlo is disabled now and it hasn't been able to give interviews since the early 90s
Oh, yes.
because he is rollerblading and someone in a car hit him in a hit and run.
Ugh.
And the like medical system screwed him up, like Medicare ran out, and there was really promising treatments where he was actually talking and being able to communicate again, and aid ran out, and they cut him off from those vital rehab programs.
That's terrible.
Yep. It's a heartbreak. There's an article I've printed off if you ever want to read it. It's a heartbreaking story. Like I cried while reading it because
Oh.
the medical system was so fucked up where they're like, sorry, the government's not paying for your care anymore, and your aid ran out from what you paid in. So it may have been helping you, but fuck off.
That's ugh.
So Bill Mantlo has been stuck as being unable to mostly communicate since the mid-90s.
That's terrible.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah. But let's focus on the good stuff because I love his run. Like I love Bill Mantlo's run on this book. There are some things I'm going to call out where decisions were made and I really hate them.
Oh, like
But
in these next two issues that we're going to talk, the next issue that we're going to talk about of Alpha Flight. Oh, we have to get through Hulk first.
yes, there's some iffy stuff that happens later. Like it's cringy in
Oh.
terms of how some things are written. But overall, like Bill Mantlo has a really different take on books and how he writes them. And the creativity he brings to the table is really fun. I'll leave it at
Okay.
that and we'll discover it. So, The Incredible Hulk, issue 313, entitled Hook, Line, and Sinker, from November 1985, written by Bill Mantlo, art is by Mike Mignola and Jerry Talawak. Oh, I'm so bad with names. Coloring is Bob Sharon. Bob Sharon is going to be coloring this book until it ends, basically.
Hulk?
No, Alpha Flight.
Oh, part of the team that swaps
Yes,
into.
Bob Sharon goes until the end of volume one.
Oh, good for him.
Yes. Letterer is Jim Novak and editor is Carl Potts. So, do you want me just to run through this?
I mean, it's a lot of exposition. It's a
Yes.
lot of Bruce Banner
I
and him trying to basically end his life,
Yeah.
end the curse of the Hulk. And he flies off his little crossroad platform and in the angst turns into the Hulk. He's just floating in a void, somehow finds a little Craig. And yeah, lots of exposition, lots of like poor Bruce Banner is forced to be alive.
And the Beyonder does play a part.
Yeah, he
He
helps
sends
like
in the probe, I
he
guess.
does. The Hulk gets probed.
Yes.
It attaches to him in the back where he can't reach it and pull it out. So Hulk just dimension hops trying to get out. He keeps like causing massive amounts of destruction for all these different dimensions that he's in. And sometimes people are like, stop destroying stuff, let me help you. But they can't. Like this big blue horned beast can't even break the line.
So a strange ethereal light catches up with the Hulk, and after a moment of intense pain, Bruce finds himself in spirit ho form floating outside the Hulk. And he's
Yes.
like, wait, what? And then the beast talks to him, and he realizes his old college roommate, Walter Lankowski, is now inhabiting the Hulk,
Yes.
which is a fun piece of background stuff that you don't get in prior. Like I said, Sasquatch was in Hulk, it's never referenced.
Oh.
Like their past relationship isn't referenced.
That they're both gamma scientists and.
That part, yes, but that they were college roommates,
Oh.
never brought up before.
I mean, it's maybe one of the better college roommate situations that works out versus Doom and Reed
Yeah.
Richards.
So Walter is explaining sort of the circumstances that led to him seeking out the mindless muscle body to inhabit,
Yeah.
not realizing it was the Hulk.
And he just wants to get back with Aurora. I
Yeah.
long to hold her again with arms capable of feeling, to kiss her with lips able to taste her love. Oh. No, thank you.
So Banner sort of wants to just let Lankowski keep the body so he can find rest and no longer battle with the Hulk persona. But Walter's like, I can't let that happen.
I can't let you die for this.
So Walter transports out of the body, and Banner, very much against his will, is sucked back in.
Yeah, like the void, the vacuum of the
Yeah.
body was calling for a soul, and since it's his, he went back in
So Walter's spirit watches on.
and dissipates.
Yeah, the Hulk is pulled along to the Rift Alpha Flight opened for the purposes of finding the body. And that leads us to his little surprise appearance.
Yeah.
So this story, it's heavy. Like suicidal Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Like you are plopped in the middle of his depression and you're like, I didn't sign up for this. I was not anticipating like this inner monologue and even the conversation between Bruce and Walter, where he's like, you can have the body. I'll just hang here and go into nothingness. It's
Yeah.
fine. It's dark.
And the whole like being sucked back in against, like as he's screaming, being pulled back into the Hulk's body.
Yes.
Ugh.
So issue 29, entitled Cut, Bait, and Run from December 1985. Our writer is Bill Mantlo. I keep saying arc. Art is Mike Mignola and Jerry Talawak. And Jerry, I know you're listening to this, obviously, if you're still alive. So please write in and correct us on pronouncing your name. Coloring is Bob Sharon, letterer is Jim Novak, editor is Carl Potts. So Hulk's here.
Which is honestly most of the issue.
He punches a hole right through Box's body.
He basically defeats the team.
So I do want to touch on this, though. He punches a hole through the armor, but it
Yep.
doesn't kill Roger, as the properties of the box armor actually spread his being around the entire armor when he phases into it.
Right, his melds into the complete thing.
Which is something that I feel is lost
I mean,
once
there's
in a while.
oh, I see. Like they set it up here with a lot of dialogue of like Madison Jeffries running over to console Box and say like, it's okay, I can fix it.
Because
We'll fi figure it out.
he can't get out of it. You need to make the armor whole again so that Roger is whole again to be
Yes.
able to get out of it. So it's an interesting quirk to this transmutation power and
Yeah.
properties, which sticks around for Madison's inhabitation of it for the remainder of the series when you eventually get there. I'm not going
Oh.
to say when we do, but we know what happens because our friend Chad was Madison Jeffrey slash Box at Uncanny.
He was. It was
So,
fun.
Madison is starting on that right away, which is going to occupy his time.
It's true. We get Aurora and Northstar. Aurora is having her sad girl moment. He is gone, Jean-Paul, my Walter, my love, my soul is
Is it
lost.
Walter or Voltaire?
Walter, but then it's before things slip and slide in
Okay.
terms of her accent,
Okay.
because shortly afters, I will never see him again. And Northstar's thinking the shock is causing Aurora to slip into Jean-Marie, the
Yes.
meek identity she retreats to. I fear for us both. Meanwhile, Puck, of all people, is trying to get at the Hulk, who just sort of like grabs him and throws him across the room.
Yeah. Aurora's like, Shaman, can you help? No, Heather.
Heather is, yeah.
Heather says,
And we get the recap of that, the whole broken promises thing,
yep.
and how he has no confidence in himself anymore. And so.
And he's like, okay, fine. You know what? I'm going to prove I suck. Look what happens when I go into my medicine pouch. Nothing comes out because I don't have faith anymore.
Not faith of the heart.
Nope.
It's like it's bad for Shaman.
Yep.
Like the fact that he's sort of demonstrating the going from one of the most powerful members of the team to totally depowered.
And so the
He
immediate.
goes to his favorite wall and like clings to it.
Heather and Puck try their best and jump on the Hulk.
I mean, this is after Walt falls on Puck, even. Like, they're trying. And we get this moment, like, again, destruction raining all around them, but for the twins, it's all about them. And
Very on point, honestly, with Northstar and Aurora.
Northstar is like, Aurora, don't grieve. And she's like, not grieve, Mothfire. My Walter is dead. Truly, truly dead. He can never come back. Never hold me in his strong and loving arms again. Never kiss my lips or caress me. He is gone, and I loved him so. And Northstar is also crying. Yes, my sister. Yes, I know. And she's like, you too? Gay.
Very gay. So gay.
The subtext.
The incredible subtext of Northstar
Being in
want
love with
his
Walter.
sister's bang buddy.
I mean, he was built, so
Yeah.
yeah.
So the Hulk smashes a hole through the exterior wall of the rented headquarters, so they're not getting their deposit back.
Does the leaping
He
thing.
tosses off Heather and Puck, and he does a Hulk leap to the American Southwest. Bye,
What
Hulk.
he thinks is the
Yes.
Southwest.
Bye-bye, Hulk.
He's like, I want my desert. So they go in and they see poor Heather, like, steps back in through this hole in the wall to survey the damage with Puck, and there's Shaman crying against a wall, Northstar and Aurora crying into each other's shoulders, and Madison Jeffries trying desperately to get all the box bits back into
Which
box.
he does, and
He
Roger
does.
phases out to prove he's all right, and then he jumps back in. And
Yeah.
then he, Puck, Aurora, Northstar, and Heather give chase to the Hulk.
Because Aurora's like, I want vengeance.
Madison and Shaman stay behind, leaving Shaman to reach out to another mystical force who may be able to help the team.
Yes.
Hulk didn't make it that far.
No, he made it to
He went
downtown.
to downtown Vancouver. And the police are like, oh shit, all right. So then there's another battle. Hulk rips both legs off a box.
Who seems so blasé about it now? And
And he lays low Puck.
it's true.
And that means Northstar and Aurora have to do something. But they touch to combine powers and find out that due to the changes Aurora and Walter made to her, they actually negate all their powers when they touch.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, Aurora, you're glowing so much. Now, if we touch, it'll be even better.
And
And North Star is taking completely by surprise. Like, your light, my speed, and our ability to fly are gone. Just as my speed vanished when I saved you from being crushed by a box earlier, it happened as soon as we touched. Jean-Marie, what have you done to us? And she's like, it was Walter, an experiment, before they get help clapped.
yes, he does his big thunderclap.
Yes.
I think this is a really smart thing that Mantlo did right away, is figure out a way to tie it back to some consequences for the twins. Because we know
Oh, that experiment? Yeah.
the experiment happened, we know her powers changed, but that's a dangling thing that Byrne wasn't really interested in picking up. He was more interested in being like, oh, Aurora's pissed that Northstar was a terrorist in the past, and she told on him.
Yeah.
Like, the experiment was sort of left at, it separated them.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Heather's thought bubble in the background as she's watching this happen. It's like, yes, to make you two less dependent on each other, with the result that any attempt to pool your powers negates them completely. Womp womp.
So that leaves only Heather,
And
who
her very torn up skirt and her
Hulk.
high socks.
Hulk is like, I am going to fuck this woman up. But then Snowbird flies in.
And
And
she turns into Snowbird Squatch.
yes, the white Sasquatch. So after tossing some rubble at her, he leaps off. But
Yeah.
then she transforms into an owl and sees him safely to the international border, turning back as she knows her powers are tied to the geopolitical border of Canada.
Yes.
You know, that treaty that we had, oh,
The 49th parallel?
it was like 49-40-year fight. Wasn't that some president's, not Trump's, but probably Trump's campaign slogan? It was definitely
Like when the
like
Western border?
Polk's or something. I am going to look it up. You riff on the geopolitical.
I mean, it's so strange. But she's like, I cannot overtake the Hulk, and why should I let America deal with a monster of its own making?
I just want to say I'm right. It was Polk. It
Oh.
was 54-40-year fight.
Oh,
Was the advocating of Polk for the US to claim the entire Oregon Territory up to the 5440 north latitude or go to war with Great Britain for it?
wow.
I'm glad I somehow knew it was Polk.
Yeah.
We're gonna see that by the midterms.
Oh, good.
Like, destroy 5440 or fight or some dumb bullshit.
Probably.
All right. So,
So boxes is not really repaired.
yes.
His legs are still not attached. There were
So,
some problematic, well, I guess we'll get it to at the end.
Snowbird, she returns to Vancouver and she says, like, my mistake was thinking that my mission for Canada was done with the elimination of the great beasts. Instead, my mission is to always defend Canada.
And that's why Department H is here with funding to and a free rein for Alpha Flight to do whatever it wants.
Gary Cody,
And
for the government, he's landing. And
so the team is
so
they're like, yeah.
the government changed. So there's a new government for Canada.
It's no longer Justin Trudeau's dad.
No. So Heather confirms, she makes sure that they will have full autonomy. She's like, no, for
Yeah.
real. We're autonomous, right? And he's like, oh, yeah. And she asks everyone, hey, you want to do this? And that's when they get to the, yay, we're officially funded again.
Yeah.
We got money.
So that's why I wanted to include this issue since it wraps up, it ends in a very conclusion-y sort of way.
Yeah, it's Matlow getting things to a starting point for himself, I guess. Like,
Yeah. Like this would be as issue zero,
yeah.
so that the next one is issue one. So that's why it made more sense to include it in this episode for the podcast.
Yeah. So in the letters column, letters appeared asking for more Puck and Marina content, the latter of which editorial teases may have a Marvel graphic novel coming out soon. She never does.
Oh,
I know.
that's like all the promises the Star Trek comics made.
Love is also given to Walter and Snowbird, both of whom remain fan favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, the swerve from issue 26 is addressed as Rick Buckborn of Rockmart, Georgia, being a bit crushed that Guardian remains dead. However, he appreciated the way in which the story was crafted and the way in which Byrne toyed with his emotions and expectations.
Oh. I mean, I was just sad about it, but okay.
Yeah. So I think that Mantlo had a whole lot of cleanup to do. You have to clean up the Hulk shit, which was like the crossover point so that they could trade off
Yeah.
everything. You had to somehow get Hulk back to the United States by the end of this issue.
I had to somehow get the team back together into
Yep.
a functional state with your new cast of characters.
Yep. So he actually goes back to Uncanny X-Men 140. Since then, the team has not been funded or recognized or sanctioned by the government.
Oh, yeah.
So his big move is they're the country's team again,
Yeah.
officially. So I'm not playing around with them being sort of off and nebulous and.
Like at Walter's great aunt's estate
Yeah.
on an island.
Yes. And sort of setting himself up for success, the twins' power, and how they negate one another. And sort of how they're going back to one another now in their grief over Walter.
They had a breakthrough moment for sure.
Yeah. And Shaman sort of taking a back seat, and Talisman is sort of a non-factor so far.
She's pulling a North Star. She's like, I don't want anything to do with you. Go away.
And Heather taking a really prominent and strong role right off the bat. I think Matlow read everything and then figured out who he wanted to focus on and how to get there for himself. And we'll see this with each new writer.
Okay.
Luckily, Alpha Flight has writers that come in and they're around for a long time, with the exception of Fabian, unfortunately, has a criminally short run on this
Oh.
book. He's around for 12 issues, I think.
Okay.
Lob Del is around for like seven.
Oh.
And that's and then you have a couple fill-ins. So Sven Larsson writes two issues, but then you get Simon Furman. So we have Mantlo around for a long time now.
Oh, good.
Yes, Mantlo is around until issue 66, I believe.
Okay.
Hudnall is around from 67 to 90,
So, like a
89.
4-year stint, a 3-year stint.
Yep. And then we get Nicieza, and then Lobdell, and then Furman.
Okay.
With Hudnall writes one issue during Mantlo's run as like a trial, I guess, to get his feet wet. So the long and short of it, you see writers come in and they have a vision for what they do and they make changes quick at the beginning of their runs.
Oh,
So
to set the tone.
yes, so this is probably the quickest transition, I'd say. Hudnall takes a few issues to make the title his own. Mantlo does it within one, because next issue we're gonna get brand new shit that you
Okay.
have never seen before in Alpha Flight. We're gonna start getting new characters, new storylines, and new focuses.
Okay. Awesome.
So
So, dear listeners, stick around.
yes, we went through lots of material in this episode.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the end of Burn's run?
I feel sort of bittersweet about it. All the buildup of why it was so good at the beginning, like when you hear that, oh, this person is leaving who had like established all of that and all of that lore and like those rich backstories, it feels a little bit like a unfulfilled promise of what could have been if he had more stories to tell, like that were as good as those deep and rich backstories. I didn't really appreciate some of the language in this past arc. Talisman is called a squaw, which is not an appropriate term to call anyone. And like it's being removed off of maps because it's so offensive and demeaning. So also midget is not a term that is used or is welcomed in any place.
Yep, or cripple.
Yeah.
Cripple is also used.
So those, like, I get that language changes and our perspective now in 2025 is very different than it was in 1985, but it's still a little bit jarring to be like, oh, like there's reasons why we don't use that language. And be sure it was commonplace then, but it's still not great when you see it.
So what the Burn run is the only run that's collected in an omnibus. It is the only complete run of Alpha Flight that's on Marvel Unlimited.
Really?
Outside of the Burn run, I think there are eight issues, if we're lucky, on Marvel Unlimited.
Because of the recoloring process?
Don't know. I don't think Marvel has ever seen fit to do anything with it. Even back when they were pumping out just trade paperbacks,
Oh.
nothing else was collected. There's never been anything collected outside of the Burn run.
Weird.
And the few random issues are connecting to overall Marvel events.
Oh, like the Secret Wars 2 or.
I think two of them or three of them are part of the Acts of Vengeance crossover. So they were recolored and released in a collected edition. It's why they're on Marvel Unlimited now. So outside of that, we're in territory where unless you have the issues or you have bootleg electronic copies, you can't read them,
Wow.
which sucks, which is part of the reason why I'm writing a book, so that people can at least preview things and then seek it out if they want to.
Gotcha.
Because not
Check out
every
those long boxes.
and not everyone has the privilege of going to comic shows or having a nearby comic store or having the income to even dig in comics boxes for even dollar issues to drop more than $100
That's
on the rest
true.
of the run. So I'm looking forward to covering all this stuff because I don't think that it has been properly respected ever,
Oh.
to the except by fans. Like, the company does not see value in it, which sucks.
Yeah.
Even when you talk with people, and I was getting my jam piece done, various artists would turn and be like, "Oh, I love Burns' work on Alpha Flight." And that's it.
Because that's all that's available.
Yes, because like you picked up on something really important, which is Byrne created all these characters. He wrote all the backstories. And a lot of people jump off when he leaves because they're like, if it's not Byrne's Alpha Flight, I don't want it. These characters live on up till now. A lot of them are still around and
Yeah.
active.
I mean, there was the X-Men Alpha Flight crossover that brought the team back together.
They were just in an issue of X-Men
Yeah.
in the past month.
That's what I said.
Well, you said crossover. I don't know which one you're referencing. There have been several since.
No, they were in, because they've crossed over into a new title.
Yes, but Northstar has been on X teams
Yes.
since this whole volume wrapped up. So, like, it's weird where people just stop reading Alpha Flight with Burn, and it's not the issue of availability. It's a choice to be like, Burn's off of it, so I don't need to read it. It's their loss. It's honestly their loss. And that's
Right.
why we're doing a podcast, because it's going to be fun. I really like it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, let us know how you feel about the end of the Burn run and the beginning of the Mantlo run. And we will catch you here next time. We have some Starfleet Academy next week.
Yeah, we do. We have also a bun who is taking a nap under the coffee table, and she's just fully listing.
Yes.
She can't stay upright.
She's tried to contribute to this episode and has just failed at it.
It's true.
All right, everyone. See you next time.
Be well.
Bye.